Amen. All right, church. Hey, take 30 seconds. Find somebody you don't know. Be friendly. Reach out. Make sure you know. Introduce yourself. Make sure you know the names of the people standing around you there. All right. Way to be friendly. Internet, good to have you this morning. Live stream, whether you're on our website or on Facebook, good to have you here with us. Hey, hit us up in a chat box. Let us know where you're watching from. We know it's cold out there. Good to have you here this morning. Looking forward to what God's going to do here. We got something different this morning. How different? All right, I'm going to be back in 15 seconds. Count it. One. All right, that was 15 seconds. I said I'd be back in 15 seconds. Here we are. Well, we got something special this morning. Yeah, we started this financial series on finding freedom in your finances, and in discussing it, I think everybody here probably knows Alicia. If you haven't met Alicia yet, who are you? How is that possible? Alicia, our welcoming to Connection Minister, and also our resident certified financial coach. And so when we talk about finances, we talk about money a lot, and it's certainly passionate. And so she said, I looked at her and said, do you have a message? And I knew right away the answer was yes. And so without any further ado, here she is.
Thank you. Thank you. Good morning. Thank you, Pastor. Well, good morning, everybody. Church family, I love you all. Welcome live stream. What a blessing to just have the opportunity to share with you what God's been putting on my heart actually for a couple of months. And so it was kind of not a total shock when Pastor Cliff asked if I would speak. And I said, well, God has been speaking to me about the substantial return on unity. This was a title he gave me, and I didn't really fully know what it was for yet, but I praise God. So I pray that it will touch you. And this message, as I was in my study, was really just pondering all the ways that God has just blessed my life, my family, me and my husband, our marriage, the things that he has done to help us. If you were here back in April of 2024, I gave a message called Are You Willing? If you want to listen to it, I gave a lot of my testimony growing up into my young adult years. I'm not talking about that today, but from there, how God just turned the ship around in my life, and just the blessings that he bestowed, I just can't even fathom at times. And of course, there was still a lot of work to do, trust me. So this message today, I'm really praying that it will touch you, inspire you, whether you are married, if you are not married, if you were married, if you one day hope to be married. I want you to apply it to your life. Whatever your life looks like, ask God to be your father, to be your husband. He is your number one helper. Just as in a marriage, God gives us a helper built in, our spouse. So if you are not married, I encourage you to ask God to be that loving husband to you, that loving father to you. Maybe to pray for a prayer partner, someone that can come alongside and encourage you. If you are, we're going to be talking a lot about finances today. A lot of story. I hope that you don't mind story, because that's how I like to share. If you're struggling in any way with your finances or just need a fresh look at it, pray that God would bring you a financial mentor or someone who you can absolutely trust, who would be a confidant, who could give you honest feedback, that you could talk with, pray with, and that you could work through that. So as we talk about the substantial return on unity, I'm sure that some of you, if you invest or even think about investing, I'm sure that maybe when you saw the message title, maybe the substantial return on investment popped in your head, because ROI, you know, when we invest, we're hoping that the money that we put into an investment will grow and will give us a good return. And I would say that, I guess in my learning, my thoughts is a basic return, if you put it into a good investment, would be around 10%, but a substantial return would be like getting a return of maybe 15% or higher. Well, I can tell you, though, that the returns that we get from investing our heart into God's word and letting him be Lord of our life, his returns are far greater than anything we could ever imagine when it comes to money. It's owned, all owned by him. It's not owned by us. Everything we have has come through him, given to us by him. Because he loves us, we're his children, and he wants to give us good gifts because he cares about us. So I'm hoping today that as we talk about it, that you will lean into the Lord and say, Lord, you know, what do you have for my life? And how can I delight myself in you even deeper and allow you to work wherever you are today? All right, so see if I can use the... Is it on? Oh, wait. Oh, sorry. Okay, on. Yay, okay, sorry. Okay, so today as we talk about the substantial return on unity, I'm hoping that we can reflect on the questions and think about what is the value of unity and how is unity affected by our values. So just a funny little story. When my boys were younger, I would love when they would come down in the morning and they would sit with me while I would be doing devotionals or spending time in the Word with Jesus. And they would come snuggle me, and I would really try my hardest to take whatever it was that I was studying or reading and bring it to their level so that I could involve them. I didn't want to just say, oh, I'm reading my Bible, give me time. I wanted them with me. I just loved that. And so this one day, as I was reading, I was reflecting on values in marriage. And so I just kind of said to my boys, I said, you know, one day when you decide that you want to get married, you know, it's really good to know that the person that you intend to marry has similar values as you, or the same values. You know, do they love Jesus? Do they want to go to church? You know, where do they want to live? Do you just want to live in the same area? You know, you never know. Do you want to have a family? Like, just these little questions that I was asking them. So I said, for example, when you grow up and you meet a girl that you want to marry, and let's say you want to live in Lehigh, Pennsylvania, and stay here, so you're near your church family, and you want to be with your family, but this girl says, oh no, I'm going to live in Colorado. That's where I'm going to live. Do you think you should get married? And one of them said, at like 5, 6 years old, probably not, because we'd hardly ever see each other. And it just, oh my goodness, I just laughed. It was so sweet. But when you think about it, I oftentimes talk with couples, you know, about their finances, and oftentimes it's found that some couples actually feel like, even in their own household, like they're living in separate states when it comes to their finances. They're not on the same page. One might have no idea how much income is even brought into the household. They have separate bank accounts. They pay separate bills. You know, they might not even know how much debt they carry. If you ask them, I don't know, he pays the car and I pay my credit card. So I have no idea. So I want you to think about that. Do you ever feel like you're living in a different state than your spouse in your household? If you don't take interest in sharing your finances with your husband or wife, I really feel you're missing out on a really great opportunity for substantial financial returns and that true deep commitment that God has called you to when you were married, to be one flesh in unity. Because when you're striving for the same goal and same vision together, and it's God's money and our money, not his money, her money, when it's out, you get there so much quicker, and you're on the same page, and you're focused. So I encourage you, if you haven't, maybe try something new. Maybe try doing that. All right, so let's see. Everything we have comes from God. I said that right. Everything we have. If we value him and have unity with him, we handle our finances differently than if we separate ourselves from his ways. I'll just put a plug. If you ever want to hear Pastor Rick's I Love Your Ways messages, fantastic. But we want to follow God's ways. So I pray that if you have any doubt that God can do anything that you ask and agree upon, I pray that your hope will be restored today. Another Pastor Rick thing that I've learned, I'm going to share a few things that I've learned growing up, too, that really stuck with me. Pastor Rick would always say, praying with your spouse is even better than money in the bank because of the results that we get from Jesus Christ. So I'm sure that you all run your households probably maybe based on what you grew up learning. You know, Pastor Cliff mentioned last week that our values are often derived from our upbringing. So I want you to think about your values and what you value and maybe where those came from. I know for myself, just a few quick things. I know that my grandparents paid cash for everything. they did not go into debt for anything. And I even remember my grandfather sharing with me how they went about paying off their mortgage quicker. They focused on that and not on a high income, like, Bethlehem Steel, you know, like, but working through that. They had been forced to leave their home at Beltsville Lake, and that was so that a flood zone could be built out there and a state park. So their values really were like stick together as family and learning to be content and love what you have and be so thankful for what God has provided. And I remember my grandfather always saying, the family that prays together stays together. And anytime he would pray at the dinner table, if we were there, he would always say, thank you, Jesus, for my wonderful family. They were very family-oriented. And I'd see, like, if I'd sleep over there, Mammy reading her Bible on one chair and Pappy reading his Bible on the other chair. You know, they'd always be spending time in God's Word. They'd even bring me to intercessory prayer out here at church and different things. So they were very, they loved the church. They loved Jesus. My parents taught me excellent work ethic, to always show up to work, to not call off unless I am absolutely sick, not just because I don't feel like going to work today. You need to show up. You need to keep commitments. Don't cancel a commitment unless there's an absolute emergency. My parents would be very excellent at making sure they'd buy used vehicles. They didn't need to go out and buy brand new vehicles. They would buy used vehicles, and if you maintained it, it'll work well. We would shop at like low-cost retailers and thrift stores. Anybody ever shop at James Way back in the day? Anybody know James Way? Kmart. I think we all know Kmart. You know, but my mom would always say, don't buy it unless you love it. She wanted to make sure if we tried it on that we weren't like, oh, just get it. She wanted to make sure if we were going to get it that we were going to definitely wear it. I learned to pay for my own college and pay for my car insurance and my cell phone bill. You know, my graduation, this is for the young adults down here, but my graduation money, because when you graduate, typically maybe family will bless you with some money, went to pay for the first semester of college and college books. And then from there, worked my way through the rest of my schooling. And my parents also, we would sit down at dinner and pray together. We always attended church faithfully, so that stuck with me. You know, Cliff and Jen, I remember, would have a picture of their dream home on their refrigerator, and they'd be praying for that house, for that house, for that house when they were living in their apartment. And I remember in 2003 getting the day, I went outside and boom, the house was being built and seeing that vision come to pass. So learning to keep things before the Lord. So these examples really influenced my life. Now, when you're bringing your values together with someone you're going to marry, my husband, I said I wouldn't point him out. I'll just say his name, Eric. I won't point at him. No, he's awesome. I went through this with him, so he's awesome. He's great with what I'm sharing today. But things that drew me to my husband from the beginning, we had worked together for about 6 months. It was a time frame where he was finishing his degree. So where we worked together, he was kind of working just to finish paying for school or whatever, and until he would get a job into the degree he had. But in that time frame that we worked together, when I first met him, we weren't together yet, of course, but I always noticed that he had amazing work ethic. He was so kind. He would be like right there for whatever customer needed help. He just had this amazing heart and gorgeous blue eyes. I mean, come on. But anyway, so I wouldn't embarrass him. No, but sorry, honey. But anyway, but these things that I valued, and when we did start dating, his pursuit of Jesus, and he loved this church, that just like, yay, I was so excited, and he loved Jesus, that just really drew me, and really, I was really thankful for that. So talk about your values with your spouse. If you're married, we're going to talk about that a little later, but sit down and talk with them about your values. See where you're at. That would be awesome. What's your vision? What's your vision? And, you know, maybe, like, do you desire to make giving a priority? Do you value time with family and spending money on making memories? You know, do you value having no debt? Do you value investing for retirement? And what does retirement look like for you? You know, do you desire to save and pay for your children's education or allow them to be fully independent and work for it? Or maybe a combination of both. Maybe you want to do both. So Dave Ramsey, did I go ahead too far? Oh, I skipped over. So it's okay. Sorry. Or I'll go here real quick and then I'll go back. But a Dave Ramsey quote, vision that's rooted in values is the only vision that will last. For your vision, your vision basically needs to line up with what you truly believe in yourself and what you value. You don't want to try to have a vision of somebody else and your values don't line up, you know. I don't need the same values as, I don't know, even my niece. I love my niece, but like I wouldn't, if she has a dream of being an actress, but I don't have a dream of being an actress, it doesn't line up with my values. Hi, Bella. I love you, Bella. Give you a shout out. I love my niece. Okay. So we'll go back here. So Proverbs 8, 17 to 21. Let's read this together. I love those who love me, and those who diligently seek me will find me. Riches and honor are with me, enduring wealth and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, even pure gold, and my yield better than choicest silver. I walk in the way of righteousness in the midst of the paths of justice to endow those who love me with wealth that I may fill their treasuries. I love that. If you read your proverb of the day, that actually came from Proverbs 8. It ironically came from Proverbs 8 today. But I love that depiction that Christ, he loves us so much. And to even consider the value of what he can do is way beyond anything. Rubies, gold, silver, it can't even compare. And yet, he still bestows on us riches and those things when we delight in him. And it's not about having wealth just to have wealth, but what are we going to do with it? Do we, as he blesses us, are we going to then in turn help someone else? Do we want to give to the local storehouse, your church? How do you want to use that money? Are you going to pay some bills off? Are you going to invest it and let it grow? He encourages us to invest and let things grow. He's a God of multiplication. All right. So, as I said, I always appreciated, I remember Pastor Rick and Nancy actually coming up on stage as I was growing up to demonstrate how to pray with your spouse. And they would teach us to make sure that anytime we had something that we were pondering or considering, to always go to our spouse and talk with them about it. They're our partner, our helper. And God put us together so that we could help each other walk through this life. And there's, again, it's better than money in the bank. And I want to read, I'm going to tell you a little story then, but let's go to Matthew 18, 19 to 20. Again, I say to you, you can read this if you want, that if two of you agree on earth about anything that they may ask, it shall be done for them by my Father who is in heaven. For where two or three have gathered in my name, I am there in their midst. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Oh, I went on to Luke, but hey, you got two scriptures in one, but that's okay. That was actually Matthew and Luke. Maybe I need glasses. I'm sorry. Honey, we may need to pray about that. But that's okay. They go together. They do go together. So we want to pray. Anything that we pray about, when we come together and pray, God will answer. seek. Knock at the door, it shall be open. He will answer us. I was just thinking this past week, right after the snowstorm, our snowblower decided it didn't want to stay running. And although I didn't blame it, because there was a lot of snow, it got tired, Eric had texted me and just let me know, hey, the snowblower, doesn't want to stay running. Well, I also learned to always tell your spouse yes. Say yes to your spouse. He didn't even ask yet, but I thought, I'm going to be on top of this. So I messaged him, and I said, well, if for any reason you can't get it going and you feel that we need to get a new snowblower, that is fine. Because I knew that our snowblower was from, like, I forget what he said, 95? Like, it's a 1990, I forget, it's a real old one, but it works great. At the moment, it wasn't working great. So I said, if we would need a new one. So anyhow, and I also trust the Holy Spirit in him. I have learned over time to trust the Holy Spirit in my husband. That's not always easy, and when you're young, we'll be married 20 years, but I know in the first years of marriage, I'd be like, is God going to tell him, or do I have to tell him? Like silly. But he felt that God showed him how to fix this snowblower. He ordered a few little parts, did the part he could do, took it to a small repair shop just for a couple little things, left with a bill for only $15 to pay. So we paid $15 and a little bit more versus $1,500 for a new one. Okay, so that to me was wisdom. Like, yay, now we can keep that money for something else that we need. So that was awesome. And one other cool story that God reminded me of actually this morning. So again, if there's something that you are praying that God will tell your husband, just ask God and trust God to do it, because it blew my mind. So back in the day, we had gotten out of debt, but we were like really wanting to like catapult forward in some things in our finances. And we had three vehicles, and we didn't need three because our kids were little then. They were young, but yet, this was in my mind, but we had three. So we had an extra truck in case either one would break down or we'd have to do something, just go pick up something or, whatever. But anyhow, as we were trying to move forward, I was journaling the one day and I just said, Jesus, I just pray that if we for any reason are supposed to sell the green truck, that you would put it on Eric's heart, and if not, then just keep helping us to be able to maintain it and that it won't affect any other area, but you need to tell him. So I'm not kidding. Like a day or two goes past. Only a day or two. Eric texts me. When you have a minute, could you come down to my office? Because he was working. I said, sure. So I came down and I said, hey, what's up? And he's sitting in his chair a little like, he said, I'm not sure how to say this, he said, but this person that I used to work with happened to message me and say, do you happen to still have that green truck that you used to drive down here to work? And he's like, yeah. Well, if you ever want to sell it, I'll buy it. And he said, so I'm considering maybe selling it. I don't know if we need it. I said, oh, are you sure? Because if you think that would be a great idea, like, but I'm like in psycho. Thank you, Jesus. Like I'm like yay, yay, yay. So anyway, I was like floored. Like, where did this come from? So lo and behold, God provided, and we sold this truck. And just another side note, because God is so good again. The same person that bought it, however many years later, had blessed us when we were engaged, getting ready to get married, and said, "I want to." Give you our timeshare for the time that you're away for your honeymoon, and blessed us with a honeymoon, which was huge when we were saving for other things. So anyway, but God brought the same person back in at random asking about this green truck. And I'm only saying these things to just say, pray about everything and pray with your spouse, because God just blows your mind at how he just over and over and over will do things that we could never on our own make happen. There's no way. Okay, so again, I hope you like stories, because here comes the next one. Are you okay with the stories? Okay. And I feel I need this story to encourage our teens and young adults, because I've heard so many say that they have no idea how they will be able to move out on their own with the housing market and the cost of rent. And I know that our God is greater than any housing market. And if you need a place that you want to live, you need only ask and pray for God to do it. And I think I would cry, but it's... So Eric and I started dating in October 28 of 03. I'm going to try to do this fast. And like I said, he was coming to church here, fell deeper in love with church and Jesus and everything. We got engaged July of 04. He proposed. And then we soon began to pray about our wedding plans, you know, our home, our family, what we envisioned. So anyhow, so July of 04, we look at the calendar and saw that October 28th, the day that we had started dating, fell on a Saturday in October of 2006. So 2 years and 3 months. Now that may sound like a long engagement, which yes, it felt like a very long engagement, but it was worth it. And he lived at home with his parents, and I lived at home with my family. We both lived at home. But we both really desired to buy a house. It was just our own thing. We didn't desire to rent, and there is nothing wrong with renting if that is the way God is directing you. Please know that. But we really wanted to be able to buy a house. So we figured out and sat down and prayed and said, okay, Lord, we have 2 years and 3 months till the wedding, so that's approximately 18 months to maybe 2 years that we'll need to save for a down payment so that we can, you know, start looking for it, give us time to look for a house. If we had to do any repairs on it, whatever we'd have to do, that we would save for this house. So a few things happened because we were praying, and God is so good. So what we figured out was we prayed for an $80,000 house, which meant that we would need to save about $800 to $1,000 per month. And I'm giving you exact numbers. I asked Eric if I could, because I want you to be able to envision the process of this. It's not just a fly-by-night. We didn't just throw a number out there and, you know, $80,000, we need to save $800 to $1,000 a month for 18 months. It would come out to approximately $20,000 down payment. We were young. We were not perfect. So please don't think that we perfectly did this, but we stuck to it as best as we could. We kept each other accountable, even though our finances were not joined yet, because you shouldn't join them until you're married. But once you're married, they should be joined. But we would keep each other accountable to this. And our desires in a home, we wrote them out, were a single home. We didn't want it to be a half a double, which it's fine. If you live in a half a double, please don't. It's just our own preference. We wanted a single home with a two-car detached garage. We wanted enough land, just enough of a property. Eric had a little dog, Tabby. Yes, we had a dog named Tabitha. Everybody thinks it was a cat, but a dog named Tabitha that could run in this property. We wanted a patio that we could grill and have people over, a dining room, enough room for children. It didn't have to be a room for every child. We just wanted to make sure we had enough room that if we had children, and something that we could fix up and resell later to buy maybe our forever home. So we had this all written down. We met with an agent, let them know this is what we're looking for in a house, $80,000. We're really sorry, but you are never going to find a house with all that you want in it for $80,000. And Eric and I looked at each other and said, we understand, but that's what we're praying for. So a few things happened. So that was July, we got engaged. September of 04, Eric was taken on permanently with the job that he started with, and he's actually still with this company today, praise God. So 20 some years. And so he started permanently with that job, and God opened up a position, an interview position, which maybe I'll share some other time, that I was told I would never qualify for, so I never even applied for it and ended up getting, and that was a miracle. And then in 2005, Pastor Rick announced that there was discipleship class happening here at Blue Mountain Community Church. And Eric and I were sitting right over in that area right there. And Eric leaned over to me and said, is that something we can take together? I said, yes, yes. So we took discipleship class, and our class prayed for Eric and I like every week that we met, that we would that God would provide us with a house that we were praying for our upcoming marriage and all of that. So we looked at a total of three houses. So the first house we looked at was close to that price, maybe a little more. And but when we went in it, it was beautiful from the outside, not great on the inside. So I won't go into detail, but it put a damper in our day. We were like, okay, Lord, is this what we're going to be finding? But we're like, okay, but we kept trusting. The second house was a house auction. And if any of you have ever been to a house auction, especially if you're a potential buyer, you know that emotions can outweigh sanity pretty quickly, right? Like you're like looking over here and they call a price and that one raises their hand and you're like calculating the cost and then you raise your hand and then you're like, okay, can we do it? And then they take a break and then you're over here talking, trying to negotiate and then you go back. Well, anyhow, so it ends up, we win. We end up winning. But we were over the 80,000. And we were like, okay. All right, Lord. And we even in our minds were like, but this house, it did not have the two-car detached garage, so we should have known right away. But it did have a lot of everything else we were praying for. But God sometimes comes and rescues us, even in our mistakes, because the people that were selling it actually, they were not satisfied with what the final bid was anyway, our bid. They wanted way more. So they ended up just outright selling the house anyway. So God freed us of that. And then we went and said, Jesus, we're sorry. Sorry that we doubted. And we came right back to, Lord, this is what we're praying for. And $80,000. And the third house, final house that we looked at, wasn't on the market. We had no idea they even wanted to sell this house. We didn't even know anything about it. And so we go. As soon as we pulled in and get out, we just see a single house. We see a two-car detached garage up in the back. We walk up, and there's just enough grassy, nice area there with a back patio. And they even had a grill on there already. I could see where I could hang my laundry and, you know, all the things that you're going, you know, the garden. We walk in and we could see the potential of, okay, like what we would want to fix up and remodel, things that Eric could totally, because he's awesome, could manage and do. And the dining room, you know, bedroom, and then an attic that we could redo if we needed for more children. But everything. And we sat down with the seller. We talked, went through it all, went to closing, and our final closing cost, $80,012. And we just like, and when we went back to the agent, just to let them know, he said, I don't know what God you pray to, but I think I want to start praying to him. And it was just so awesome. So I want to encourage you, don't be afraid. Let God do it, but do your work. You know, you don't just, even though we can rest in him, we still, again, we had to do our part. Keep saving, keep praying, keep saving, keep working, keep saving, keep praying. The whole giving, make sure giving is first on your list because God just pours out a blessing you can't even contain. Okay. All right, I want to have us read 2 Kings 4:1-7. Now a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets cried out to Elisha, your servant, my husband, is dead. And you know that your servant feared the Lord, and the creditor has come to take my two children to be slaves. Elisha said to her, what shall I do for you? Tell me, what do you have in the house? And she said, your maidservant has nothing in the house except a jar of oil. Then he said, go borrow vessels at large for yourself from all your neighbors, even empty vessels. Do not get a few. And you shall go in and shut the door behind you and your sons and pour out into all these vessels, and you shall set aside what is full. So she went from him and shut the door behind her, and her sons, they were bringing the vessels to her, and she poured. When the vessels were full, she said to her son, bring another vessel. And he said to her, there is not one vessel more. And the oil stopped. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, go, sell the oil, and pay your debt, and you and your sons can live on the rest. Now, we know from Proverbs that the borrower is slave to the lender, right? Here in the Old Testament, literally, her sons were going to be taken as slaves. I cannot imagine them coming and telling me they're going to take my two sons and put them in slavery because I owe debt. And she had courage enough to go to the prophet and ask for help. And sometimes we have to remember that we should not be afraid to ask for help. If we feel like there's something not right in our finances or not right in our marriage, in our household, seek guidance and seek help. A jar of oil, I don't know exactly what it looked like, but could you imagine this paying off all your debts right now? I do remember when Eric and I had debt, because you might be thinking, oh, that happened to you with your house? Everything must have been perfect. We had, cars. They weren't brand new. We still bought used, but they still had car payments and some credit cards. And we got to a point where we were just both tired of it. We're like, we don't want any more debt. And we had to think about, what was our jar of oil? Well, now this was after our debt was paid, but I think about, like, if we had something like a car. I was trying to remember exactly what we sold, but I do remember that when we had debt, we went around our house, and if it was, like, whether it was things that our kids out, like toys or baby stuff, or I don't know, I'm sure he had some things in his garage that I just remember us posting and selling so we could sell it and put it on debt and sell it and put it on debt. But God, when we just prayed and asked God, he just kept on helping us to get out of debt because we didn't want that anymore. We didn't want that hanging over our heads. God is just so, such a father to us that he doesn't want us to carry that burden. So if you're ready, when you're ready, and if you say, I'm ready to move this mountain, okay, Jesus, I need your help, he's right there. He's going to help you. I mean, where did all that oil come from when she kept pouring? The Holy Spirit. Like, it couldn't just multiply on its own. The Holy Spirit kept multiplying it for her. And I know that I had to work on my attitude at times in our marriage. I mean, we always have things we're working on, so please know. But I know that in my younger days, when I was definitely, like, more tired, we had babies, and, and then Eric, it was awesome, but he got to start working from home. His company had him work from home. But then he was, like, right in the middle, at that time in that house, he was right in the middle living room, so I'd be, like, back and forth from kitchen to living room, the kitchen to living room, and I'd be, like, tired, and then, but I wanted to take a burden off of him because he did all our finances, like he paid the bills is what I mean. Like, he would take care of that. And I knew that he didn't absolutely love doing that. I'm nerdy and like spreadsheets and budgets and stuff. I could look at it. I like working on stuff like that. So I asked him if he would like me to take care of paying the bills and things. And he's like, yeah, that would be fine. I said, just to give it a try. But then sometimes when we do that, we have moments or times where we might take it like another job we have to do, And so I'd lay out this beautiful budget and like, okay, here's the budget and here's what's going to go on debt and here's what we're going to, I'm thinking all this. And then pretty soon I realize we have a truck repair that we need done, or Eric needed clothes too, or like, there's, silly, but no, really, but there would be things that he obviously would need, and did I even consider asking him? Maybe I should have asked him, what do you need this month, honey? What do you foresee coming up, instead of me just trying to put together this perfect budget, So I learned to make sure that I go to my husband, we sit together, look at the budget together, make the plans, and how are we going to have this work? And I like to call it a cash sow plan. How are we going to sow that seed to keep us in check, that we know that it's God's money and not our own? Another awesome miracle. When we were in that house, again, paying off debt, because in this, talking about oil reminded me of a time when our oil company guy, I can't think of what you call him, came to look at our furnace and realize that our oil tank was rusted out. We needed a new oil tank. Now, I honestly don't really know how much they cost, to be honest, but in our heads, we're like, okay, Jesus, we're really trying to pay off our debt, and then another wrench, in your plan. Does that ever happen to you guys? Do you ever get a wrench in your plan? You think that you're going to take care of something. So we're like, okay, Lord. But we're like, we are going to pray. Thank you, Jesus. We're going to pray. So we hymned together, said, Lord, we trust you. We just pray right now that you would show us what to do about this oil tank, that you would keep us safe, Lord, and then we'd be able to get this taken care of. So we know you're going to provide. And I am not kidding. I come to church that Sunday, and I walk in the lobby, and this gentleman beelines for me and says, I know that you talk to a lot of people when they come in here. If you come across anybody that needs an oil tank, can you please let me and my wife know? We have this brand new one that we just want to give to somebody in need. And I said, actually, I'm like blown away that you're right here right now. I said, but we actually need a new oil tank. We were just told ours is rusted out and we have to get a new one. And as I'm watching this brand new beautiful oil tank that I've never seen in a tan color ever in my life, usually they're rust color, come pulling in to our $80,000 house that God provided, I'm like, God really loves us. God loves us. It was just unbelievable. Like, I cannot even express. So, it is unbelievable. So married couples, I encourage you, make it a habit to pray regularly with your spouse every day, whether it's in the morning or when you crawl in bed at night together. Pray, take that time. I understand. I know in the beginning it was a little awkward. Sometimes we'd be like, is it a good time for them? Or, you know, silly things that go through our head. Just sit, and don't be arrogant about it. Don't say, well, you're going to pray with? No, don't say that. Honey, would you be willing to please pray with me? Even for this message, I said, honey, would you be willing to please pray with me again? Because he had already prayed with me. But can you please pray with me again? I said, I just need your love and God's love. And I know I feel God's love when you pray with me. Yeah, absolutely. But ask your spouse to pray with you. And it will become more natural. It will happen more easily. How long? Okay, 3 minutes. Okay, Lord. Okay. All right. Well, let's just say, okay. So if you're sitting there and you're thinking, oh boy, I have debt that I have not disclosed and I can't tell my wife, or I have no idea how to balance a checkbook. My husband doesn't need me interfering with that, or I'm doing fine on my own. My money's my money after all. My spouse has no business spending my money. In order to move forward, you need to have full disclosure with your spouse. And I want you to go home, and if there's anything that has not been disclosed or shared, to have the courage to say, honey, there's something I really need to talk to you about right now. And I know that might not be easy for some of you, because I know some of your stories. And that's where my heart was very sensitive about giving this message today, because I know that some of your stories, it is not always a happy place right now when you go home. But I pray that God will work, and as you continue to pray for your spouse, and cry upon the Lord, cry to the Lord, he will in turn answer your prayer and go to work. And only the way that he can do it, close your mouth if you have to. And I mean it. Like, I know that sometimes we want to fix things and we think we're fixing it by unloading on them even more and saying, you should come to church with me, I miss you at church, or you really should be looking at the money with me. Instead, kind of do what I did with the truck, journal it and just say, Lord, speak to my spouse. And he will. Like, it's incredible what God will do, and we have to trust him to do that. Let's see where we're at here. I'm going to go past. I'm so sorry. A lot of these scriptures that are in here, this will go out tomorrow in the Going Deeper questions with that, the PowerPoint and the Going Deeper. I encourage you to take out your Bible and highlight these scriptures. And anything that has to do with money, I like to highlight in green. You can do different colors if you want to make it stand out, because John Maxwell says that the first time you read a book, you mark it, but the next time you read it, the book marks you. So when you go into your Bible and you highlight it, and then you keep going back and reading it, it really starts to stick in your heart. If you do not have a Bible of your own, please stop by our welcome room or see one of our ushers after church, and they will get one for you. And please utilize these if you're not on the Going Deeper question email, which would be the same as the newsletter email. Stop at the connection table, and they will help you with that, okay? All right. So change only happens when the pain of same is greater than the pain of change. So if your pain of same right now is very deep, it may be time for some change. Okay. This one will be in your going deeper questions. All right. All right. And this one will be in your going deeper questions. Let's go to the last scripture, real short, but this one, keep it in your heart. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. I cannot express how obvious it is when God is involved in your financial decisions. So cling to that. Husbands and wives, and everybody who's here should know this, but husbands and wives, you both should know this, not just one spouse. I will send this out with the going deeper, but if you want a picture of that, this is just a glimpse at some things that when you sit down together at some point soon, especially if this is not in place, you both should know how to pay the bills, your income, how to get in the safe, all these things. So I'm going to send that out. And then finally, God's wisdom when it comes to finances, it cannot be bought or exchanged for any value of money. It's immeasurable and incomprehensible, and it takes complete faith and trust. All these stories I told you were completely faith-driven, needing to have full faith in the Lord that he would do it. We couldn't do it on our own. And that's where most of your circumstances probably lie. So just be free of that burden and say, Lord, I'm giving it to you. I'll do the work that you tell me I need to do, of course. But ultimately, you have to do it. Okay? All right. All right. So music ministry, why don't you come up? I think we have, music ministry would come up. If you have never received Jesus into your heart, or maybe this message spoke to you and he's pounding at your heart that there's something that you want to work on or change, and you're saying, Jesus, I really need you in my life, I'd like you to bow your heads, close your eyes so that there's privacy. But if you would like to ask Jesus to come into your heart and be Lord of your life, would you please look up at me and either look at me or raise your hand so I can see you? And if you're in the balcony, I see you up there. I see you. Anybody else today? All right. Let's pray this together. Lord Jesus Christ, thank you so much for loving me and valuing me. Even when I'm trying to do it my own way, help me to put my full faith and trust in you. I ask you to come into my heart and to be Lord of my life, to make me new. Thank you that all I have belongs to you. And now you have me, Jesus. Thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. And I believe that you rose again and you're coming back one day. And that I have eternal life with you. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen.